Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Blast Off into the Unknown. Discover the real science behind black holes, debunking myths, and exploring cosmic mysteries. Perfect for homeschool STEM learning.
Welcome, everyone. If you are, like, insanely curious about space, and I know you are, then you are in exactly the right place today.
Oh, absolutely. Space is just, well, it's wild.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So today we are doing a special deep dive, and we're tackling the ultimate cosmic monsters. The things that sound super scary, but are actually, I mean, totally fascinating.
Right, the things that everybody loves to talk about.
Exactly. We are talking about black holes.
Ah, yes. The heavyweights of the universe.
Yeah, literally. So we've gathered this huge stack of recent trusted sources. We've got stuff from NASA, from National Geographic, the National Science Foundation.
Almost the heavy hitters.
Right. And our mission today is to separate the science fiction from the science fact.
Yeah.
We're going to figure out what black holes really are, how we find them, and we're going to debunk some pretty crazy myths along the way.
Which is so important because, you know, pop culture gets black holes so wrong most of the time.
They really do. So let's just start with a simple definition. Like, what even is a black hole? And the sources gave this amazing balloon and foil experiment that you can actually try at home.
Oh, I love that one. It's such a great visual.
Right. So, okay, picture this. You blow up a regular party balloon, and then you wrap it completely in aluminum foil.
Okay, so you have this shiny inflated ball.
Exactly. And then you pop the balloon inside, and you crush the foil down into the tiniest little ball you possibly can.
Just squeeze it as hard as you can.
Yeah. And that is basically what a black hole is. It's a huge amount of stuff, what scientists call mass, squeezed into an impossibly tiny space.
Right, and that's where the physics gets really weird. Because when you squeeze that much mass into such a tiny space, you create an extreme amount of gravity.
And gravity is just the pull that keeps us on the ground, right?
Exactly. It's the same force keeping your feet on the floor right now. But in a black hole, that mass is packed so tightly that the gravity becomes, well, insanely strong. It pulls so hard that absolutely nothing can escape it.
Not even light, right?
Not even light, which is the fastest thing in the universe. If light gets too close to that boundary, it's trapped forever. And we actually call that boundary the event horizon.
The event horizon? Oh. I love that name. It sounds so dramatic.
It really does. It's the invisible point of no return. Once you cross the event horizon, you're not coming back.
Okay, so that brings up a really big question. Because if black holes are just made of all this packed up mass, like, how much stuff are we actually talking about here?
That is a great question. And it really depends on the black hole because they basically come in different family sizes.
Like a cosmic family tree.
Yeah, exactly. So first up, you have what we call stellar mass black holes.
Okay.
These are formed by the collapse of a really massive star. And they usually contain anywhere from 3 to 20 times the mass of our entire sun.
Whoa. Wait, so 20 whole suns?
Yep, up to 20 suns. But here's the crazy part. All of that mass is squeezed down into a space that's only about 10 to 60 kilometers across.
Are you kidding? That's like the size of a city.
Exactly. Imagine taking 20 suns and crushing them down so they fit inside the city limits of London or New York.
That is just, I can't even wrap my head around that. But wait, hold on. If dying stars make black holes, does that mean our sun is going to turn into a black hole one day? Should we be worried?
Oh, no, no, no. Not at all. You do not need to worry about that.
Okay, phew. Good.
Yeah, our sun is actually way too light to become a black hole. It just doesn't have enough mass.
Oh, so it has to be a giant star.
Right. A star needs to be at least 20 times more massive than our sun to have enough gravity to crush itself into a black hole when it dies.
Mm.
When our sun eventually runs out of fuel, it's just going to shrink down into a glowing ball called a white dwarf.
Okay, that is super reassuring to hear.
Mm.
So our sun is safe. But you said there were other sizes, right? If stellar mass black holes are the normal ones, what are the big guys?
Oh, the big guys are the supermassive black holes, and they truly earn the name. We are talking about millions or even billions of times the mass of our sun. Yeah. Millions or billions of suns all packed together. But surprisingly, they can fit into a space roughly the size of Mercury's orbit around our sun.
That's big. But for billions of suns, that's still so incredibly tiny.
It's unimaginably dense, yes.
And then the sources also mention these really cool theoretical ones, primordial black holes.
Ah, yes. the tiny ones.
Yeah, the ones that people say could be the size of a mountain or even just the size of a single atom. I mean, they say you could literally fit one in your pocket.
Well, theoretically, yes. You wouldn't want one in your pocket, though.
Huh. Fair point. It'd be a very heavy pocket.
Very heavy. But it's important to remember that primordial black holes are just an idea right now. Scientists think they might have formed right after the universe began, but we haven't actually found any of these tiny ones yet.
Right, right. Which actually is a perfect transition. Because speaking of things people think they know but haven't actually proven, I want to talk about space monsters.
Oh, boy. The myths.
Yes. The wildest rumors about black holes. Because there's a lot of science fiction out there, and we really need to bust some of these myths for you listening at home.
Let's do it. What's the biggest one?
Okay, the biggest one, the vacuum cleaner myth.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, everybody thinks black holes are just these giant cosmic vacuum cleaners, right?
Mm.
Just actively roaming around, sucking up the whole universe like dirt on a rug.
It's such a common fear, but it is completely false. A black hole is not a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't reach out and grab things from far away.
It doesn't. But the gravity is so strong.
The gravity is only strong if you get really, really near the event horizon. Distance matters. Like, a lot.
Okay, explain that. How does the distance work?
So let's do a thought experiment. Imagine if our sun was suddenly magically replaced by a black hole that had the exact same mass.
Okay, so it's a black hole, but it weighs the exact same amount as our sun.
Right. What do you think would happen to Earth?
We get sucked in and destroyed.
Nope. The Earth would keep orbiting exactly the same way it does right now.
Wait, really? It wouldn't pull us in?
Not at all. Because the mass hasn't changed, the gravity out here where Earth is wouldn't change either. Now, obviously, we'd be very cold and in the dark because there's no sunlight.
Right. That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be a bad day. But we would not get sucked in. You literally have to fall into the black hole's immediate neighborhood to get trapped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so the universe is just way too big for a black hole to swallow it.
Exactly. Even the biggest known black hole, which is called TON618.
Oh, yeah, the sources mentioned that one. It has, what, 66 billion solar masses?
Yep. 66 billion times the sun. It's an absolute giant. But even TON618 is just a tiny microscopic speck compared to the whole universe. It's not a threat to anything outside its own little local area.
Okay, that is super cool to know. But what about portals? You know, like wormholes. Are black holes just secret tunnels that spit you out in another galaxy?
I love science fiction movies as much as anyone, but there is zero evidence that wormholes actually exist.
Oh, man. Really? Zero?
Zero. As far as all of our physics and observations show, black holes are just incredibly dense objects. They are dead ends. They aren't shortcuts or magic doors to another dimension.
Okay, so no magic portals, just super heavy balls of crushed stuff.
Exactly. And just to completely reassure everyone listening, you are perfectly safe. We actually have a number that wows from the sources.
Oh, I love the numbers that wow hit me.
The nearest known black hole to Earth is called Gaia BH1.
Okay, Gaia BH1, how close is it?
It is 1,500 light years away.
1,500 light years, which is how many miles?
It's about 14 trillion miles.
13 trillion miles. Okay, yeah, we are totally fine.
We are very, very safe.
So, okay, this actually stumps me, though. If they are so far away and they are completely dark, right, like light can't escape them, and they aren't actively sucking up planets from across the universe for us to see, how do scientists actually know they are there? How do you hunt something invisible?
That is the big trick of astrophysics. You don't look for the black hole itself. You look at what's happening to the stuff around it.
Look at the surroundings. Okay, like what?
Like watching stars move. So there's this massive black hole right in the center of our own Milky Way galaxy.
Wait, we have one in our galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Sagittarius A. And for a long time, astronomers couldn't see anything there. But they kept their telescopes pointed at that spot. And they watched a star called S2.
Star S2, okay.
And over the course of 16 years, they watched this star S2 orbit around a completely dark, empty spot in space.
Just flying in a huge circle around nothing?
Exactly, flying incredibly fast around nothing. And based on how fast it was moving, scientists used math to prove that the nothing it was orbiting was actually a dark object with 4 million times the mass of our sun.
Oh, wow. So they couldn't see the hole, but they saw the star getting yanked around by its gravity.
Precisely. Its gravity gave away its hiding spot.
That is so smart. But the sources also mentioned something about bright rings, like they aren't always invisible, right?
Right. That brings us to accretion disks, which is a fancy term for a flat ring of incredibly hot gas and dust.
Kind of like the rings of Saturn, but made of fire.
Yeah, that's a great way to picture it. When gas and dust get pulled close to a black hole, they don't just fall straight in. They start swirling around it like water going down a drain.
And it gets hot.
Extremely hot. Because it's swirling so fast, all those particles are smashing into each other. The friction heats the gas to millions of degrees, and it starts glowing brightly in X-rays.
So it completely debunks the myth that black holes are totally dark. The hole itself is dark, but the ring around it is, like, blindingly bright.
Exactly. The surroundings of a black hole are actually some of the brightest things in the entire universe.
That is wild. But wait, we can also feel them now, right? The sources talked about gravitational waves, and there was this Weber sheet space-time experiment.
Yes, the rubber sheet is the perfect analogy for this. Imagine you have a large piece of stretchy fabric, like a trampoline, and you pull it tight.
Okay, got my imaginary trampoline.
Now roll a heavy bowling ball into the middle of it.
The fabric is going to sink down in the middle.
Right, it bends. And in physics, we call that stretchy fabric space-time. Massive objects bend space-time. Now imagine two giant black holes crashing into each other on that trampoline.
Oh man, the whole trampoline would bounce and shake.
Exactly. It sends ripples out through the fabric. Those ripples are gravitational waves. When black holes crash in real space, they send literal ripples through space-time that wash over the Earth.
And we can actually detect that. Like, we feel the ripple.
Yeah, we do. We have this amazing machine called LIGO. And between 2023 and 2025 alone, LIGO detected over 200 of these gravitational wave events.
Over 200 crashes. That is so cool. So we're just out here feeling the universe vibrate.
We really are. But we didn't stop at feeling them. We also wanted pictures.
Oh, right. The pictures.
Yes. The Event Horizon Telescope. Scientists actually linked up telescopes all over the planet to create an Earth-sized camera, basically.
And they took an actual picture of a black hole's shadow, right?
Yeah.
In that galaxy, M87.
That's the one, back in 2019. And then they took a picture of our own supermassive black hole, Sagittarius A, in 2022.
I remember seeing those on the news. It looked like a blurry, glowing orange donut.
Exactly. That orange ring was the glowing accretion disk, and the dark center of the donut was the shadow of the event horizon.
That is just, it's amazing that we can do that. Okay, so we know they are out there.
Yeah.
We can safely observe them from Earth. We have pictures. We have ripples.
But
we have to talk about what actually happens if something did get too close to the event horizon. Because this introduces literally my favorite word in all of science.
I think I know what word you're talking about.
Oh, you know I'm talking about spaghettification.
Spaghettification. It sounds completely made up, but it is a real astrophysics term.
I just love that scientists looked at the most terrifying physics in the universe and went, yeah, it looks like pasta.
Well, it is highly descriptive.
It is. So let's explain it to the listeners. The sources use this spaghetti stretch experiment. It's super simple. If you take a piece of wet noodle or even just some slime and you pull one end faster than the other,
it stretches out.
Right. It stretches out into a long, thin string. And that is exactly what a black hole does to you.
Because of the way gravity works near the hole? Yes. It's called tidal force.
So if I'm falling in feet first, the gravity pulling on my feet is a lot stronger than the gravity pulling on my head, right?
Exactly. Because your feet are closer to the black hole than your head is. So the black hole is yanking your feet down way faster than it's yanking your head.
And so I stretch out like spaghetti.
You stretch out vertically, and at the same time, the gravity squeezes you horizontally from the sides. You basically get turned into a stream of particles.
Wow. Okay, note to self, do not fall into a black hole. But wait, there was a crazy paradox in the notes about this, the size paradox.
Yes, this is where it gets counterintuitive.
Because you would think the biggest black holes would stretch you the fastest, right?
Yeah.
Like, more mass equals more stretching.
That is what everyone assumes, but it's actually the exact opposite. You feel that crushing, stretching pressure much faster near a small stellar mass black hole.
Wait, really? A small one is worse?
Much worse. Because a small black hole is so tiny, the difference in gravity between your head and your feet changes incredibly fast as you get close. It's a very steep drop-off.
Oh, so the difference is huge over a tiny distance.
Right. But if you fell toward a giant, supermassive black hole, the ones with millions of suns, the event horizon is huge. The pull at that boundary is much more gentle.
So I wouldn't get spaghettified right away.
Nope. The pull on your head and your feet would be almost exactly the same at the edge. You could theoretically cross the point of no return, drift right past the event horizon, and you wouldn't feel the stretch right away.
I could just float across the edge of a supermassive black hole, and I wouldn't even notice.
You wouldn't feel a physical barrier, no. But your friends watching you from the outside would definitely notice something weird happening.
Which brings us to the weirdest part of the whole deep dive. Stretchy time. Time dilation.
Yes. Gravity doesn't just bend space, it literally stretches time.
This breaks my brain every time I read about it.
It's Einstein's relativity. Basically, a clock near a black hole's event horizon actually ticks slower than a clock far away in deep space.
So if I have a watch on my wrist and I'm floating near the event horizon, my watch is ticking normally to me?
To you, yes. Every second feels like a normal second. Your heart beats at a normal pace.
But to you, watching me from far away.
If I'm watching you through a telescope, I would see you moving in ultra slow motion. 1 hour for you down near the black hole could equal years or even decades for me sitting back on Earth.
That is unbelievable. Mm. Just by getting close to a massive object, I could travel to the future.
In a way, yes, you'd age much slower than the rest of the universe.
So it really isn't just about things getting sucked in. It's about twisting the very rules of reality.
That is exactly why scientists study them. They aren't just sci-fi monsters. They are real extreme objects that help us test Einstein's theories.
Right, and the sources said they help figure out how entire galaxies grow, and they even help us measure the expansion of the universe.
They are the ultimate laboratories for extreme physics.
I love that. So for everyone listening, if you want to see these forces in action, seriously, try the balloon and foil experiment we talked about at the beginning.
Or
get some slime and do the spaghetti stretch. It really helps you visualize just how much force we're talking about.
It really does. It brings the cosmos right to your kitchen table.
Absolutely. Now, before we sign off, there is one final mystery from the source material that we have to leave you with. Because we know what happens outside the black hole, and we know what happens at the event horizon. But the very, very center of the black hole.
The singularity.
The singularity. This is the spot where all that mass is packed infinitely small. Like impossibly small.
Right. And the truth is, scientists still don't know what a singularity actually looks like.
Wait, really? We don't know.
We don't. The rules of physics as we understand them completely break down at that tiny point. The math just stops working.
Wow. So it's basically a giant question mark right in the middle of space.
Exactly. We know it's there, but we have no idea how it operates.
So to all our young learners out there, here's a question for you to ponder tonight. What do you think happens to the rules of science right at that tiny infinite center? If all the rules break, what takes over?
Maybe one of you listening will be the scientist who finally figures it out.
I love that idea. Get to work on that math, guys. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into black holes. Stay insanely curious, keep asking big questions, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.